Joshua was one of the greatest leaders of all time. He was the leader who followed Moses. And Joshua is the one who had actually led the children of Israel across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And he was the one that had led them in many battles, I mean literal battles. And near the end of his life, a life of faithful service to the Lord, he called all the people together, kind of for his last words, a leader's last words for the people. And in that crowd, there was only one man who was Joshua's age. Only Caleb, Joshua's fellow scout, who had spied out the land for Moses some 40 plus years earlier. He was there. They had to have been best friends, closer than brothers. Joshua and Caleb had witnessed God do incredible things. They were the last two of that generation who had been in Egypt as slaves and had seen God bring those plagues on Pharaoh until Pharaoh acknowledged God and let the children of Israel go. They're the ones who had been there when Moses first showed up. They were the only two left who had walked through the Red Sea on dry ground as God opened up the water for them. They had witnessed God's incredible provision for his people in the wilderness with manna and quail. They had fought many battles together. And I suspect that Caleb stood right next to his friend Joshua as the aged leader issued his last challenge to his people. And we find that challenge in Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15, which is our text for today. Words of Joshua. Now fear the Lord. Serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt. And serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It seems to me Joshua offers or delivers this threefold challenge. We call it Joshua's challenge to Israel. The first part of his challenge is simply, fear the Lord. What does that mean, to fear the Lord? It's not a groveling fear like a slave who fears his harsh and abusive master, this fear that produces this paralyzing dread. That's not what it means. It is the devoted fear of a child who has deep respect and love for a loving father, and he wants to please him. To fear the Lord is to have a deep sense of awe and respect for the majesty of God. This fear of God is coupled with the love of God, and it produces a desire to know God, to be with God, and to serve God. Which leads us to the second part of Joshua's challenge. He says, fear the Lord and serve the Lord. He challenges the people not to simply acknowledge, sure, there's a God, He exists, He might have something to do with me, but it's this challenge to serve God. We are to serve because we want to, not because we think we have to. We are to serve in order to please God alone, with no strings attached. We don't serve God in order to get stuff back from God, although sometimes we do. Sometimes we get that very wonderful feeling of fulfillment when we are serving God. But the truth is, not always. And that should not be the primary reason that we do that. The same Hebrew word translated serve in our Old Testament is also translated worship. It depends on context, whether it's translated worship or serve. But it's the same word. Avad is the word. In serving God, we worship Him. And just as songs that would be sung without love And without faith, do not please God. So service done without love and without faith, do not please God. But when we sing songs to the Lord that express authentic faith and deep love for God, then God is honored, God is blessed, and God is pleased with us. And so our service done in His name out of faith and out of love honors and blesses and pleases God. Our reward for serving Him is not more jewels in our crown in heaven. That may come, but that's not the idea. Nor is it for material things on earth. Our reward is the pure joy of being with the Lord, with God, now and forever. Being a part of what God's doing in this place, in this world. That's our reward. Our reward is the experience of the very presence of God filling our hearts, filling our lives. That's the reward. That's it. There's no better reward. What we want, Lord, is You, not His stuff. So the challenge was, fear the Lord. Serve the Lord. And then He tops it off with this third part. Choose the Lord. He says, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Other gods must be rejected. There can be no divided heart when it comes to fearing and serving and choosing God. When we think of idols, we tend to think of little statues or things that maybe people carried around, that kind of thing, or maybe big statues that symbolize these. But an idol is anything or anyone other than God that we trust in for our hope and happiness, our security, and our significance. Now, of course, we appreciate the gifts of God, but we must not make any gift of God the ultimate thing. We must not worship those gifts, put our trust in them, and make them the ultimate source of our hope and our security. This first Sunday of the new year, perfect time to reject the false gods of this world, rededicate ourselves to our Creator, our Savior, and our Lord. But why would people heed Joshua's challenge? Why would they pay attention? Why would they want to do that? To fear God, to serve God. Serve, that's an active verb, you know. To fear God, to serve God, to choose God over all others. Well, we go back to the earlier part of Joshua's final speech, to Joshua 23:14, where he says, "You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed." The primary promise fulfilled was remembered in that Passover celebration. It was to remind them in perpetuity as they celebrated this Passover every year. It was to remind them of the saving grace of God who took them out of Egypt, delivered them from slavery. Each family took a lamb or a goat and killed it and roasted it and ate it. And they understood that that lamb to be sacrificed was sacrificed in place of the oldest son of the family. And that lamb was to point to the one Lamb of God, who is Christ our Lord. That's why we don't do this, you know, that's why we don't sacrifice animals anymore. It all pointed to the one true and only legitimate sacrifice that could pay the price for our sins and free us to fear God, serve God, choose God. His sacrifice covers our sin and reconciles us to God. His blood is the means of our release from sin, that we may serve Him and fear Him and choose Him. And we can choose God only because He first chooses us. He makes the first move. We do not serve to deserve God's love. We serve as we observe His love for us. And if serving comes from any other motivation other than love and faith, well, you're wasting our time. Now, one example of such service out of faith and love is the example of my brother Mike and my sister-in-law Debbie, Mike and Debbie Clem, who have served with heart and distinction here at Pflugerville Community Church beside me for over 20 years. I say over 20 years, but that's because they were with me before we actually had a church, before we actually started. I know that if my brother had been there when Joshua issued this challenge, you know, and when he says, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, I'm certain he would have been the first to stand up, step forward, and proclaim, we're with you, Joshua. As for me and my house, we too will serve the Lord. I have no doubt about that. And that's not based on just emotion, but the experience of serving beside my brother and my sister-in-law here for a long time. It was about 22 years ago that I was serving as an associate pastor in an Austin church, and the pastor of that church, I don't know, if maybe he just wanted to get rid of me, I'm not sure, but he put the thought in my mind of planting a new church in Pflugerville because we had a number of families living in Pflugerville, and so I began to think and pray about that, and then our elders began to talk and plan and think and pray about that, and before there was any public announcement about that, before anybody really knew about the idea that that church was thinking of planting one in Pflugerville, it was my brother who came to me privately, and he said, I've heard that you might be leading a church plant in Pflugerville. Is that true? I said, well, yeah, we're praying about that. And I'll never forget what he said. If you lead a church plant in Pflugerville, Debbie and I are coming with you. And they did. Soon after that, they sold their home in Austin, relocated in Pflugerville, primarily to be a part of this work. Mike, my own brother, is the last of the original three elders that were appointed by the church that sent us out. They put three elders in place. The other two have moved away long ago. Mike's the last one. He and Debbie are moving to Dallas, which is why I use him as an example, because I don't like to normally call people out. So, yeah, I'm no Joshua, and Pflugerville's hardly the promised land. But this is where God planted us. And Mike has been every bit the friend and brother to me. Caleb was to Joshua, standing by me through thick and thin for over 20 years. And they're moving to Dallas. So it's kind of the end of an era for me, in a sense. And I ask my brother, what would you like to say to the congregation? You've earned the right to say whatever you want to. What do you want to say? In fact, I gave him the opportunity. I said, if you'd like, you can do the communion meditation today. He thought about that, and I emailed him after waiting a couple of days. It's like, okay, I got to know because I have to prepare something and I'm not going to. So I emailed him and said, so are you going to do the communion meditation or just wave goodbye? And he said, wave goodbye. But if I were going to say anything, it would be this. And he put it in the email, and I'm putting it on the screen. This is his message. I want to encourage the sheep to serve, and serve well, as we have benefited greatly by serving in Sunday school and Pioneer Club and Quest and the Treasury and Fall Fest and leader eldership and etc. It's been a great experience. 99% positive. He had to work with me, so it was a 1% there, I guess. That's his final message. Serve and serve well. God's in that. You will experience God as you serve Him, as you sacrifice for Him. You will find more peace and more joy. And you'll find some frustration. And you'll find some difficulty, and that will make you trust God all the more. Faith and love motivates such service. That's what it is. And that's why after all these years, I think my brother says, people, serve God. Serve Him with all your heart. It's worth it. It's worth it if that comes from faith and love. A heart overwhelmed by the love of God demonstrated in Christ our Lord. So we come to this table today to remember, to celebrate a promise kept for us. Joshua said, serve Him, remember all the promises that God made. We remember the central promise kept for us on a cross. And it's what brings us to the Lord's table. Luke 22. After taking the cup, He gave thanks. And He said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And He took the bread and He gave thanks and He broke it and He gave it to them saying, this is My body given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. And in the same way after the supper He took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood which is poured out for you. As Josue said at the beginning of the service, this is the Lord's table. It's not our private table. So all who call on the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, well, you're invited to come and communion with Him at the table. So I want to invite the leaders who are going to be the servers to come. And they're going to take positions, some on this side and some on this side. And here's the way, just the way this works. You'll go to one of our leaders who will serve you. You'll partake of the bread. You'll partake of the cup. We have these little baskets for the cups after you use them. Don't put them back in the in the tray, please. Just put them in that little basket that we have there. And after you partake, they will bless you. They'll put their hand on your shoulder, and they will give you a blessing. So our worship team is going to come, and they're going to play. And as they play, take some time to reflect on the hope of Christ our Lord. Take some time to prepare your own heart and soul. And then you can come. You might want to wait for the line to go down. All right? We'll have three on one side, two on the other. Good. Let's pray, and then you come and partake of the Lord's Supper. Lord God, Almighty and Everlasting Father, we gather in this place to remember the promise kept for us on the cross. The promise of the forgiveness of sin. Our sin, my sin. The promise of Your presence, of Your grace and Your mercy. The promise of eternal life. Lord God Almighty, help us to never forget the price of that promise kept. And as we come, I pray Your Spirit would move to renew our faith, our hope, and our love for Christ our Lord. In His name we pray. Amen. You come when you're ready. Now you may stand for the blessing. May you know the joy of loving and serving the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Amen.